Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The recent death of Kevin Ward Jr. at Canandaigua Motorsport Park provoked questions about confrontations between drivers throughout the history of professional racing. Ward was killed when he left the relative safety of his car and was struck by three-time NASCAR champ Tony Stewart's car. Wrecks happen all the time in professional motor racing. Drivers overwhelmingly survive these accidents, but they don't all walk away unscathed. Viv Bernstein is a freelance journalist who highlights the challenges that face NASCAR drivers after the smoke clears. We found her article, Crashing Without a Cushion, NASCAR Drivers Have Little Help with Concussions, in the New York Times. And Viv, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for inviting me.
The legacy of concussions and head injuries has become a huge challenge and story in football and boxing and other professional sports. Do we have any idea of how many drivers are affected in racing?
That's a very difficult question to answer because there is no union. There is nobody tracking these older drivers. Nobody really knows some of the symptoms that they're dealing with 20, 30, 40 years after they raced. Back in the day, before there were soft walls, before there were other safety measures, these guys took crazy, crazy hits to their heads and continued racing, and they thought nothing of it at the time. Mm. They didn't realize how dangerous it could be. So, yeah, there could be dozens, there could be hundreds, who knows, of drivers who have experienced head injuries and are feeling those symptoms even today.
And you speak with a number of drivers, some who were recently hurt, some, as you mentioned, you know, were hurt dozens of years ago. The crashes are not always catastrophic. I mean, sometimes drivers just keep on driving. How common is that for racers?
Again, it's very hard to answer because it's really up to the racers to say, hey, I am hurt. I should not be on the racetrack. Drivers typically don't do that. And athletes are trained, mentally trained, to push forward through injury. That's something you see in every sport. Not surprising to see that in racing as well. What Dale Earnhardt Jr. did 2 years ago when he stepped out of the car and said, hey, I have a problem, I've had some concussions, that was almost unprecedented in NASCAR. Sent a huge message to others in the racing community. However, I still think today, there are drivers who take hits to the head and keep racing.
Well, Dale Earnhardt Sr. died in the 2001 Daytona 500, and since then, new safety regulations have been put in place. So is NASCAR responsible for helping in driver recovery or expenses in case of injuries?
Well, NASCAR has insulated itself from responsibility. In the way the organization is structured, these drivers are independent contractors. There is no union. There is nobody looking out for them except for them. You're not going to see the lawsuits that you've seen in the NHL, that you've seen in the NFL. However, these drivers helped build that sport. They helped build that sport into a machine that can generate an $8.2 billion television contract. These drivers who helped build the sport, perhaps NASCAR can help them, given that they're generating these kinds of dollars.
Well, NASCAR drivers operate on many different levels. Some are paid, like professional sports stars. Some have big sponsorships. Others are just kind of making a living race by race. Do they all have the same kind of risks in the end?
Absolutely. Now, NASCAR is just like other sports. There are major leagues, there are minor leagues, there are stars, and there are other guys who are there who are not stars, who just race every week and live off the money they make every week. And yeah, it's a burden to have to be able to support themselves if they have these major catastrophic injuries.
Yeah, no safety net. Well, you spent a lot of time with one such driver, Eric McClure, not a particularly winning driver, but he did crash at Talladega, Alabama in 2012. He was kind of a second-tier driver living race to race, and he felt he had no choice but to continue racing despite his injuries. First, what were his injuries?
Well, he had a horrific crash at Talladega. Talladega is a racetrack known for its crashes, these multi-car, 12-car, 15-car pileups. The way racing is designed at those tracks, it creates those wrecks. In McClure's case, he had lost his brakes. So when he crashed and went streaming towards the inside wall, he couldn't slow himself down. He hit the wall at 185 miles an hour. Now, understand, he had a much more catastrophic crash than the one that killed Dale Earnhardt. However, NASCAR has so many ways to improve, has improved racing safety dramatically since that crash, and that's why McCoor survived. However, he was knocked unconscious. He had a severe concussion. He had internal injuries that have caused issues for years since then. He has now memory issues. He has now mood issues. These are all signs of some significant brain damage. And yet he has to continue racing, even though he is now at risk, if he gets another concussion, for some very serious issues much further down the line.
NASCAR, you tell us, has initiated concussion tests at the beginning and end of each season. Eric, however, is still racing. Is there an incentive for him to lie about concussions or to continue racing even if injured?
Well, first of all, I don't know that Eric McCoor has or would lie about injuries. However, there's a tremendous incentive to keep racing, even though he risks further damage given the number of concussions he's had. He's already had three significant concussions in his career. The more concussions he has, the greater risk he has down the line. But there's a tremendous incentive to just keep racing. Now, I'm not saying that he has lied about anything, but there is an incentive to keep for drivers in general to not reveal their concussions and to continue racing. Jeff Gordon, a four-time champion, was asked about that after Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s injury, asked if he would withhold information if he had a concussion, if it meant it would cost him a championship. And he said, yes, he would. Jeff is one of the most respected drivers in NASCAR, and for him to say that sends a message to drivers all the way down to Eric McCoor as well.
And you spent time with a number of former racers who, I guess, this kind of crashing and just driving on behavior had been sort of normalized. Now some of them struggling with long-term effects of hits to the head. And you spoke to, you know, doctors at Boston University about these brain injuries, some of which can only be diagnosed after in a post-mortem. How did they talk to you about living with injuries that were incurred many years ago?
Unfortunately, I was not able to interview Fred Lorenzen, the driver who was voted into the Hall of Fame in May. He has been diagnosed with dementia. He lives in a nursing home in Chicago. His daughter believes that he has a disease that we've seen in football players and in hockey players. That disease can only be, it's called CTE. And his daughter believes that Fred Lorenzen has that condition. Can't be diagnosed as long as he's alive. I don't know how to put this, but at some point it's possible that Fred Lorenzen could wind up being the first driver to ever be diagnosed with this condition.
Mm. What are some of the long-term effects of head injuries that could come from these kind of high-impact car wrecks?
Well, what we're seeing and what I discovered in talking with a number of drivers is a lot of drivers have memory loss. I had a long discussion with Bobby Allison and his wife about the issues that he's facing. And his wife told me 30 minutes after I leave, he will not remember the conversation that we were currently having. It's sort of devastating to hear drivers as beloved as him struggling in that way. There are a number of other issues. What we've seen is mood swings in drivers who have had numerous concussions. We have not seen, as far as I can tell, the suicides in other sports NASCAR has not experienced that. But really some very devastating issues. One driver talked about depression, that he had been on 15 different medications to deal with depression that could be very well directly associated with his traumatic brain injury and his wreck.
Well, Viv, thank you so much for your time, especially at a busy time for you.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Viv Bernstein, a North Carolina-based journalist who's covered NASCAR for the New York Times for 12 years. You'll find a link to read her article, Crashing Without a Cushion, NASCAR Drivers Have Little Help with Concussions. It's at wordofmouthradio.org. Up next, we're going to remain in the brain for an historical look at somnambulism and the story of a 19th century sleepwalker whose case inspired early psychiatrists to search for a cure. That's when Word of Mouth continues after the break.